Welcome to Art Watch, an enlightening foray into the lives of working artists. Come on in, step into our studio, and listen to something unique about the artistic development of some of our friends. I'm your host, Elisha. Our guest today has worked in all the major hotspots of the art world: Paris, London, New York, LA, Miami. I join her remotely as she calls in from a historic schoolhouse in Bolin, Iowa. Population, 33. Please welcome Ida Ivanka Kubler. Ida, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what kind of artist you are, and a little of your background?
My name is Ida Ivanka Kubler, and I was born in a rural area in South Bulgaria. I traveled the world for my art. I left Bulgaria when I was 17, and I lived in countries such as France, Germany, England, Norway, and USA. I stayed with my art collectors and clients in order to produce large-scale artworks and to be part of their culture. I'm very open to culture, and that's part of one of my characteristics, and I'm open to people. I like communication, and I try to through my artwork to express the imaginative touch. This means that people imagine in three-dimensional settings how it will be if they touch, it will be touched. It's supposed to be conveying a feeling through expressionism. I was inspired by Rothko through the simple colors and through the simple shapes, just that my artwork is more structural and more sculptural because it's three-dimensional. But the size of it, where you can really enter the work of art, like large-scale works, which I'm mostly known for, the Birth of an Idea series, they're made of silk cocoons from butterflies. And I started working with silk cocoons at the age of 5, growing up in a sericulture for silk cocoons of my grandparents.
Wow. Could you tell us a little more about your Birth of an Idea series? I know that's maybe the series that you're most well known for.
Yes. They consist usually around from 400 to 500 silk cocoons. The butterfly, there is a worm which turns around itself 10,000 times in order to build the cocoon with its saliva. The silk fibers are strongest on earth, and they've unearthed cocoons from 2,000 years ago, and they have been used also to make heart operations. I discovered this material growing up in the sericulture of my grandparents, and where not having any toys to play with, I started coloring them with paint, which I made from pulverized red bricks mixed with water. I picked up on the topic with the silk cocoons a few times in my career, but the way how the Birth of an Idea looks like nowadays, I discovered really in Chelsea College of Art in London, next to the Tate Modern. I was inspired to do something by the library director of Chelsea, which she said she wanted something inspirational, because why people go to libraries? To get ideas for their life and also for their career. And she wanted to convey a feeling of inspiration, of excitement, energy, light from the middle and spreading towards the ends. So I went back by chance to my grandparents' house, and I found 20-year-old cocoons, because my grandparents were old now and they didn't have cocoons anymore. But by chance, I discovered this bag of 400 cocoons, and that's when I started these works. I then had a sold-out show in London just after finishing college. And then I moved to New York.
So the Birth of an Idea series is about as signature
Ida Ivanka Kubler as you can get. I mean, this is also a description of your birth as an artist as well.
Yeah, in a way, it's interesting how you describe it. I never thought it this way, because whenever I make them, I think about the people I make them for. And also it's about how open you're to people and communicative, because as you can see on my birth of an idea, they look like flowers, but basically the idea was to have open hands like this, like five fingers and an arm. And you have like 400 of open hands. And when people are open to you, you're open to them too. And it's about touching these flowers and being part of a community. And that's what it expresses.
Yeah, so it's pretty incredible that this medium that you had as a toy when you were 5 years old has now carried you through your artistic career. You've come full circle and sold out shows, exhibitions throughout the world. Who would you say your first believers were in your artwork?
My first believer was my mom, because she was like sending me to all these art schools from the age of 7 years old. I started going to all sorts of different arts teachers, and I got influences from many teachers. And then when I arrived in Germany, there I had a host family, and when they discovered that I can paint and draw very well, they gave me a studio with materials. So they were aristocratic family from Cologne. And then after that, I had another lady. She was owning a very noble shop in the town where I studied. Her name is Gisela Mertens. She introduced me to art dealer in the Netherlands, Willem. He has been director of infrastructure in Netherlands, and he was art collector and also a dealer. From there, like in England, I have two big supporters. The one is Paul Huntington from the Huntington family. I still have studio in his house, and some of my works are there. But also Madeleine Fenwick. She has a gallery, and she was my art dealer for a few years. That's in Chelsea, London. From there, my art representative from Norway, Ingo Johansen, found my artwork while exhibiting on the street in Sydney Street in Chelsea, in London. And from there, I had lots of art representatives in New York, but on one of my shows in 2012, I met one of my art dealers, Maya Dimitrova, and she became my dealer in the US, and lots of friends like Elisa Brown as well helped me with particular shows in New York and also in LA. So I have been really, really grateful for all these amazing, beautiful people who come always my way at the right time. And we discover new horizons together, and we work on such exciting projects.
So looking back at your career, what would you say is your favorite period or your high point?
There are two. The one, and they're very close together. Just after finishing Chelsea College, I was really proud to have a sold-out show straight away. People calling me right away the next day after we put on the artwork in Notting Hill and London. And then the second step was moving to New York and having a studio in the middle of Manhattan, where my artworks have been the most desired, and people constantly will be coming after work to look at my work. It was just very easy for people to visit me.
Oh, that's wonderful. So your career has been long and successful, you know, starting in Europe, going throughout Western Europe and Scandinavia, across the United States, many of the major cities. So how are you adjusting to life in small town Iowa?
Well, it's very interesting. You know, I am telling all friends from the world, when I need to go and see a friend, I just need to go on the other side of the cornfield. And I can't drive a car because I haven't driven since I was 17. And so wherever I go, it's either by foot or somebody has to pick me up. And usually people come to me here in the schoolhouse. Is the easiest way. I had two visitors today here, which was nice. And I'm adjusting well. I basically, what the good side of it is, I completely can focus on work. There is nobody who can out of the sudden say, let's go to this bar, or this concert, or this cafe, or let's get drunk, or anything. So there are no distractions at all.
Yeah, there's no distractions, but there's also no subway and no bus system. None of the ways that I think maybe you were accustomed to getting around a big city.
Well, I have a driver's permit says next week, but also if that doesn't work, I might get a horse. Like the Amish.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great idea. Yeah. What do you see in the future for your artwork?
Yeah, it is very difficult to compete with yourself. I've tried to make better series than The Birth of an Idea. I tried many times to put this series in a show, and people always want The Birth of an Idea. So it is a big challenge for me how to get do something better than The Birth of an Idea. Because The Birth of an Idea is like, they're like a grown-up child and they can leave home now. Yeah, so they don't even need me. I could have sold those license to a gallery and they can reproduce them when I told them how to do it. People tried to copy them in the past. Actually, I've seen images where people copied them, but they're copyrighted in New York anyway, but I really was thinking of selling them as a license to someone because I've been producing them now since 2009. And I think it's enough. I produce a lot. And they're very relaxing artwork, so I would like to give this feeling of relaxation to somebody else. And I would like to develop new series. And I have been working on so many different types. And yeah, I would like, that's my challenge, to do something even more successful. Let's see if I will succeed.
If people want to find more about your work, I believe you have also worked in video format as well, multimedia, mixed media. What's a good place to find more Ida Ivanka Kubler?
Well, I have a channel on Vimeo and YouTube. Just by searching my name, there are lots of things and materials appearing.
I will also include links to Ida's social media, Vimeo and YouTube channels in the description of this video or podcast. Ida, is there anything else that you'd like to say to finish off the night?
Well, I really would like to thank you for being part of this exhibition. I was so excited to learn about it, and I pretty early knew about your Freeborn Arts Initiative, and this is so exciting that such a group exists in this area, and it's lovely, and it improves the culture in the area, and I would like to continue working on the cultural side of Iowa, Minnesota, like, I think exactly here is where things can happen because people are so excited about it because when there is emptiness and not so much distraction, that's where new things can be born.
Ida, I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you very much and take care.
I thank you so much as well for this interview and take care.
And thank you for listening to ArtWatch. A very special thanks to this episode's sponsor, the Fribourg County Arts Initiative. Located in the historic Bessesen former Opera Palace in Albert Lea, Minnesota, the FCAI is an arts nonprofit that offers a wide range of programming, from visual arts to virtual open mic nights. More information can be found at www.fcai.us. And for upcoming episodes of this show, please visit www.artwatch.us. Till next time.